The law says innocent until proven guilty, except innocence won't save you from paying bail. Every year, thousands of citizens are faced with a terrible decision: sit in jail before their court date or pay sometimes thousands of dollars to be released. At the ACLU of Washington, legal strategy director Jamie Hawk says the issues with bail are worse than most people know. For example,
over 60% of the people locked up in the jail right now are pre-trial. So what that means is that they have not been convicted of a crime. There's a charge pending against them, but they're simply waiting for their trial date. So they're unconvicted, waiting for their trial date. And for the most part, the vast majority of those people sitting in our jails are there because they're poor. Money bail has been imposed, and they do not have the financial resources or means to bond out. The problem with money bail is it's a wealth-based system, and it discriminates against the poor. So essentially, bail means jail for the poor, and we have a two-tiered system.
Not everyone knows this, that it's not just felons who have bail required of them, but it's misdemeanors as well. And there's no cap on how high the bail could go, even for someone who's charged with a misdemeanor?
You're absolutely right. When we look at our jail populations and who is in our jails, there's a large, rather high percentage of misdemeanors. So a lot of times people think, oh, it's just people charged with the most serious felonies. And that's not the case.
So someone might have to post $25,000 to stay out of jail for doing what kind of misdemeanor, for example?
Could be driving with a suspended license in the third degree, could be resisting or obstructing justice in some manner. There's a long, long list of hundreds of misdemeanor offenses in the state of Washington that a person could, you know, lawfully be arrested upon and brought to the jail and then bail imposed.
This is my understanding of bail, is that the defendant gets the money back if he or she shows up for the court date. Is that right?
Most commonly, surety bail is imposed. And what surety bail requires is the use of a bail bonds. So if you have to go to a bail bondsman, they are a for-profit private industry. They charge a 10% non-refundable fee for their services. So for example, if bail is set at $10,000, they will charge you $1,000, and that's their fee. That goes into their pocket. You do not get that money back. And then the other real challenge with this system and the use of money bail is you have to have collateral or some kind of property generally that's worth the full amount of the bail. So there are thousands of people that owe money to the bail bonds. It's an incredibly profitable industry, upwards of $2 billion on a national basis.
This is a weighty decision for a judge to impose such a burden on an accused person. Why do judges do it?
They have very limited information. It's difficult to make informed decisions about whether someone will appear for their court date. And one of the fundamental problems with the use of money bail is that it sort of is premised on this notion of skin in the game, right? That if you don't have a financial interest in your case, you're not likely to appear for court, for example. And that's false. And there's more research coming out about that to try to dismantle this skin in the game notion, as if being prosecuted and facing jail time and a criminal record and many of the other consequences that flow from a criminal conviction is not sufficient skin in the game, that you have to have some financial interest. If you haven't invested some money either into the pocket of a bail bondsman or into the registry of the court, then you're not likely to show up for court. And that's just generally for the vast majority of defendants. That's not the case.
Could you briefly walk us through how that affects someone's life, having that judge decide to impose significant bail?
That moment of having money bail imposed that you can't afford to pay is absolutely devastating. It turns a person's life upside down. And all you can think about is how to get out of jail and get back to your family and your children and your job. And the collateral consequences that follow from that, direct consequences that result in truly destroying people's lives and making it very, very difficult for them to get back on their feet. So a lot of those direct consequences include job loss, losing their homes, having their children taken away. Imagine if you don't have a significant other or a family member who could immediately go to your home or pick up your children from school. How stressful that would be. Many people's their prescription medications are disrupted, and they can go several days without getting their medication. So there are very serious health consequences as well. There's even a large number of people, I've been trying to collect data on this, where money bail is set and they're locked up in jail pretrial, waiting for their trial date. And as they are appointed an attorney, and the attorney is able to work on their case, and ultimately the case gets dismissed. And they've been sitting in jail for weeks, maybe even months at that point, waiting for their trial. And they are simply in jail because they couldn't afford to pay that money bail. And imagine what that would be like to spend weeks or months sitting in jail, away from your family and your children, losing your job, all of those other consequences, simply because you didn't have the means to post the bail that was initially set in your case.
Briefly, what are alternatives?
So a judge can release someone on their personal recognizance without any bail, or the judge can release someone with certain conditions that need to be followed. And some of the reforms I think that would be most helpful would include having pretrial services office that could help monitor individual defendants, help ensure that they appear for their court dates, connect them with needed services and resources.
Is that expensive? Is that shifting the burden from an accused to taxpayers?
Sure. There would be a cost, but when you compare it to the extraordinary cost of running our county jails and the millions of taxpayer dollars that are spent on our county jails, it would definitely be a more cost-effective approach investing in some of these least restrictive alternatives.
A cheap way to maybe boost the odds that an accused shows up for court is a robocall.
Absolutely. There's some great data and case studies out there, examples even. I think Multnomah County, Oregon, invested in a robocall system, which means that for every defendant in the system that has a phone number, that phone number is entered into the system and they receive a call to remind them about their court date. And it's an incredibly cost-effective way to reduce a failure to appear. And there are several other examples around the country where this type of technology has been used and implemented as a cost-effective way, and they've had very positive results in lowering the number of people who miss their court date.
What do you say to a judge who says, I couldn't go to sleep at night if I didn't do what I could to make sure this accused person doesn't flee and commit another crime?
That's a challenge for judges. Judges, their job is to make those very difficult decisions and to follow the court rule and to follow our laws. And I think a lot of people, judges included, don't realize how high the pretrial detention rate is in our county jails. And having the data is really important to really take a look at who we're locking up and who's in our jail.
Jamie Hawk is Legal Strategy Director of the ACLU of Washington, calling for reform of the American bail system.